Hey, today on the Glenn Beck Podcast, Pat Gray joins me again. He just cannot get past the fact that my mother made bathtub soup.
Same. Your bathtub's in your bathroom, isn't it?
Yeah, when you say it that way, yes.
Yeah.
It's bathroom soup.
It's just plain icky. There's no way around it.
All right. So we touch on that for just a second, just to really... Just to freak all of us out, just a little bit, I think. But also, we wanted to talk to you today about what's happening in the world. Russia is now saying that we are sponsoring terrorism. The anti-Israel thing is going. We have Arthur Herman on about that. What else did we do today? Oh, geez. One of the big things that's happening in Congress is FISA. They want warrantless searches on American citizens against the Fourth Amendment. Today, that was happening in Congress, and you'll hear all about it on today's podcast. My Patriot Supply is our sponsor. Three questions we ask when it comes to bad things happening in our country's future. If, when, and what? I think you'd agree that we already know the answer to the first one. When is getting shorter all the time, and what? It might be easier to answer what won't happen. Are you and your family prepared yet? If, when, what? Your first step is going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Stock up on multiple one-week emergency food kits this week only. A week's worth of food for one member of your family, priced at under $50. This time is the time to buy it in bulk. Look, we're literally looking down the barrel of another potential world war right now, not to mention everything else that could go wrong. Don't get caught off guard. My Patriot Supply is equipped to help you prepare. They've already helped 2 million families already. These one-week kits are ready with our foods. They provide over 2,000 calories every day. They're sealed in a rugged ammo can when they come. They last 25 years in storage. Grab-and-go emergencies. Get the kits now for $50 this week only at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
So I want to introduce you to the representative from Ohio's 8th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. Trying to, you know, sort all that out and instill some fiscal discipline. But he is now the author of a bill that, honestly, he's getting screwed by the Speaker of the House because he's just asking, hey, can we just, you know, remember the Fourth Amendment and make sure that if you're spying on American citizens, you have a warrant to do that? But no. And the Speaker of the House is blocking that. Warren Davidson is with us now from Washington, D.C. Congressman, how are you, sir?
Glenn, it's always an honor to join you. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you. So tell us what your amendment actually will do.
Okay, so the amendment we have is called the Fourth Amendment's Not for Sale. So one of the most important ones in the bill is to get a warrant. And let's go back in the fall, the base text had getting a warrant and, what does the Fourth Amendment Not for Sale do? It prevents the federal government from buying data from data brokers that they would otherwise have to get a warrant or a subpoena to obtain. So it's known as the data broker loophole. So that was in the base text. The speaker essentially worked with the Intel Committee to gut the bill of some of these important provisions. And at least the warrant requirement is going to be able to be offered as an amendment. But he basically stripped the Fourth Amendment's Not for Sale from even getting a vote. And part of the reason, I still remember, a longtime member of Congress, a guy named Walter Jones, asked him one time when a bill was popular in the House, passed with like 420-some votes, only 7 no votes, would help solve a problem, be popular with the public, why in the world won't the Senate take this up? And he said, well, you know, I hate to be cynical, but probably because it would pass. And why would they strip this out? Well, because Dick Durbin, who's the chairman of Judiciary in the Senate, has a similar bill in the Senate, and Chuck Schumer is a co-sponsor. So this is an issue that does not break on party lines. When it was offered as a standalone bill in Judiciary Committee last summer, it passed 36-1 through the committee. So how often did Jim Jordan and Jerry Nadler agree on something? Pretty rare. But this is one that at least this isn't a total party line issue like so many other things are.
So they're stripping it out, and he's actually going around the rules to make sure that it never makes it to the floor, is he not?
Well, it doesn't make it as part of this debate, and he's offered to give us a vote at a later time, but this is the problem. If it's not attached to something that has to pass, like FISA, well, of course the administration wants to keep spying on Americans. They've already said that. And so if there is a way to pass it through the House, and even if there is a way to pass it through the Senate, the administration would simply veto it. And that's why it really should be part of the FISA debate. That's why the Judiciary Committee had it as part of the base text of the bill that essentially the speaker reworked.
So I'm hoping that most of the people that are hearing your voice right now are the kind of people that maybe used to say, well, I don't have anything to worry about because, I'm not doing anything illegal, and realize now the government has turned hostile towards American citizens, and all of the information that is out there, it's very dangerous for individuals. Tell me why the average person should care. Why does this matter, to those people who are not breaking the law or et cetera, et cetera?
Well, go back to the founding of the country, and why was the revolution kicked off? One of the major causes, according to John Adams, was the general warrant.
Right.
So the King George, was basically saying, well, we're looking for bad people. And so under the guise of looking for bad people, we're just going to come rummage through your personal effects and, in the concept of privacy. Well, the Fourth Amendment doesn't say, well, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear. It says that as an American, you have a reasonable expectation of privacy, that without probable cause and they can't search your stuff, and with probable cause, they have to get a warrant, even for really bad people, even to go after pedophiles. You have to get a warrant. And that's the way, look, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is designed to collect intelligence on foreigners. And that part is broadly supported. It's been very effective. We want to stop threats to our country. But when it comes to citizens, there's a reason there's no Domestic Surveillance Act. It's because the Fourth Amendment says that we have an expectation of privacy, and we have to defend that. It's probably the most infringed part of the Bill of Rights at this point.
So what is the most effective thing people can do today?
Call their member of Congress, tell them to demand that their member votes for a warrant requirement, and ask them to say we should be voting on the Fourth Amendment's not for sale. The government shouldn't be circumventing the warrant requirement to buy data that they would otherwise have to get a warrant. They don't want the warrant requirement in the first place, but in the event that should pass, in a lot of ways they're saying, well, it's not as consequential because we can just buy our way around it.
Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Keep up the hard work, keep fighting for this, and we will do everything we can to support you today. Warren Davidson from Ohio.
Hey, thanks for highlighting it, Glenn, and God bless you and your listeners and viewers.
Thank you very much. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to call your member of Congress today in the House and tell them Fourth Amendment's not for sale. Do not pass anything for FISA without warrants included. Warrant must be included. Pass the Fourth Amendment's not for sale bill. It's going to happen in the next couple of hours. So you got to get on the phone right now and call your member of Congress. It's just so disturbing what's happening. Tonight we have another Blaze original. And this is so, it's going to really make you upset. It's going to make you mad. But maybe we'll get enough people to see it and they'll go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know this was going on to this extent. Do you know what Mitch McConnell's worth? $38.4 million. Much of that comes from nearly $30 million that he has in mutual funds, the largest of which is VOO, the asset name for the Vanguard S&P 500 ETF. Okay. The website weaponsfreefunds.org analyzes mutual funds for people who don't want to invest in military-industrial complex. So guess how they grade the mutual fund that Mitch McConnell is in. D, okay? Because they invest $30 billion invested in military contractors, including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop, and many more. They have $24 billion invested in nuclear armament manufacturers, $11.2 billion invested in controversial weapons like cluster munitions, landmines, depleted uranium. So why does that matter? Well, because Mitch McConnell can invest in things and then push for things that would make those investments go up. When I show you the chart of how much these people are making and their returns compared to like the best hedge funds, you're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your mind. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell came out and said leadership means standing up for America's interest in the Indo-Pacific, to Europe, to the Middle East. Right now, the House has the opportunity to pass an urgent national security supplemental, war for everybody. What he's advocating for is $95.5 billion. That's $60.1 billion more to Ukraine military aid and $14.1 billion for Israeli military aid, which means we say we're giving them the old stuff. Well, yeah, so then we give that to them and then we take this money and we invest it with Lockheed and others, which makes him richer. Tonight, we're going to show you that this is an amazing, amazing show. I'm doing the pre-show at 8 p.m. It's preempting my Wednesday night special, 8 p.m. Eastern, a live pre-show event featuring Unusual Whales. This is the anonymous X account. We can't show his face. We can't tell you his name, but his voice will be on. He is the main guy that is exposing Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Also, James Polis, who is from Blaze TV, he's the host of this particular Blaze documentary. And after the pre-show where I ask them some questions and show you some shocking things that were left on the cutting room floor, then we premiere live, bought and paid for, how politicians get filthy rich. This is critical for you to understand, because when you do, you'll start to understand, oh, well, they're not really looking out for me. They've passed laws, just like Thomas Massie was saying, carve out for them. They can deal in inside information. They can be on a committee and know exactly how a vote is going and then go invest in that company knowing that the stock is going to go up. That's insider trading.
I don't suppose you'd be focusing on Nancy Pelosi at all, because
no.
Her net worth has only gone up by $140 million since 2008, she and Paul.
Well, Paul's just a brilliant investor.
Just a brilliant. And how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did he get to be such a brilliant investor?
Yeah.
Where did he get the information?
He wasn't always before. Yeah,
no.
He wasn't.
I mean, he was rich, but he wasn't $171 right. million rich.
Right. Well, it's no secret. She can invest
yes.
in companies that she is passing legislation on. So if there's a war, they know there's coming a war. They're going to have a big spending bill.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they're going to
do. I wonder if I should invest in Raytheon.
Right.
Huh. I
wonder if I should invest in Google. What is the government doing? Should I invest in this? Should I sell this? She'll know it all.
And she's against stopping any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait until you hear her statements on it. It is incredible. Tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, the live pre-show event, and you don't want to miss that. Bought and paid for, how politicians get filthy rich, streaming live tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, blazetv.com. Join us. Become a member, blazetv.com/Glenn. And use the promo code Glenn and you'll save $20. Also on youtube.com/BlazeTV. So the usual arrangement in this country has been in the past that the government and the Federal Reserve will step on as many rakes as possible every day. When they walk out the door. That's the case today. And there seems to be a lot of rakes lying around in the yard. If you don't see the need to shore up your hard-earned money with something that will act as a firewall against economic disaster, maybe you should get the show prep today. It's free. It's on glennbeck.com. You just sign up for it. Comes in every day. But you should see what Jamie Dimon said about what's coming. You know, I don't know. He's been more accurate than the Fed has been. I want you to call Lear Capital, $3 billion in trusted transactions, thousands of five-star reviews, 24-hour risk-free purchase guarantee. They are the precious metal leaders that you can trust, and I don't want you to necessarily buy anything unless you're ready, but get your free wealth protection guide. Please, it's free. Wealth protection guide. They'll also give you $250 towards your purchase. 800-957-GOLD. 800-957-GOLD. Now back to the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Arthur, my friend, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Very good, very good. I was in a meeting the other day, and I was talking to my producers, and I'm like, the historic parallels between what is happening right now with Israel and anti-Semitism and World War II, I think, are stunning. Who is it that could talk about that with real knowledge? And of course, yours was the name that came up. Arthur, thank you for coming on. Tell me about the parallels that you are seeing.
Well, I think one of the parallels is, and you know, it's so odd, Glenn, you remember the expression, never forget?
Yeah.
And how that for our generation and for the post-World War II generation, one of the most important moral landmarks in our dealings with the world is that we would never, ever allow something like that, like the Holocaust, to take place. And that Israel occupied a particularly important moral outpost in terms of American foreign policy and in terms of our understanding of what hate can do when it is fully unleashed, even by those who would seem to be, you know, rational human beings, namely the Germans. Well, what is scary for me now is that we have forgotten, or somebody has forgotten, and what has been particularly disgusting has been to watch the idea of genocide, of which the Nazi slaughter of 6 million Jews has been the archetypal example. I mean, there are other examples of genocide in history, but that's the one that stands out in its in the most horrific and vivid ways. That term has now been used and is being used against the state of Israel as it tries to defend itself from terrorists who do want to commit genocide,
right,
namely Hamas and their Iranian backers and supporters.
I mean, Arthur, I just saw a quote from Elizabeth Warren who said, I think there's plenty of evidence, and you take it to the International Court of Justice, and I think they will find that Israel has committed genocide, which is insanity.
It's sick. And it is a reminder of that the conditions that brought about the Holocaust in the first place in the 1930s, which we thought we had moved beyond that, that it was not possible for such an event or such a process to start again, and certainly not to draw support from the civilized democratic world. What worries me is that we're seeing a similar process underway, which is not of Elizabeth Warren wanting to exterminate Jews or destroy the state of
Correct.
Israel, but willing to stand by and allow that process to take place in the hands of others, namely of Israel's Arab neighbors, and particularly the Palestinians, to allow that to happen with the idea that this is somehow a form of righting wrongs, of somehow a form of justice and of freeing the Palestinian people from Israeli occupation. And it'll only be when that process has come to an end, when the Palestinians are able to carry out the destruction of Israel, that just as happened with the original Holocaust, that people will stand back and say, how could we have allowed that to happen? How could such a thing and such a horrific barbarity be broadcast and be explained, this is what we're going to do? How could this have happened and the civilized world and good people stand by and allow it to happen?
But Arthur, isn't
that's
it different?
What's so scary.
Isn't it? I agree with you, but isn't it different this time around? Because we do have clear eyes on what is going on. We see it now. We didn't, you know, some of the elites may have known what was going on, but the average person, I don't believe in America, knew what was going on in Germany. We know now what the intent is. I feel the same way about the world today as I do about Germans who read Mein Kampf. He told you what he was going to do. You know what I mean? There's no surprise there.
No, and there was plenty of eyewitness accounts that were already coming out from Nazi-occupied Europe of what was taking place. That, as you said, the elites knew it, but felt that it was not possible for them to interrupt the fighting of war against Nazi Germany in order to deal with the humanitarian disaster that was taking place and the atrocities that were taking place at the same time. Let's focus on what the point you've just made, which is an excellent one. That this time the awareness of what's happening is flipped. Right?
Yeah.
Then it was the elite, the power, the leaders, the war leaders, who were aware that something really awful was taking place on the fringes of the Nazi Empire in places like Poland. And in camps like Auschwitz and Sobibor, they knew what was taking place. The general public populace was largely ignorant of what was underway.
Correct.
This time, it's the general populace. It's all of us, including Jewish Americans, who are watching it at horror at what is happening and what our policymakers with the elite are setting in motion. And I think that's the reason to be optimistic that this will not happen. But it's going to require some very strong effort on the part of America's Jews, on the part of supporters of Israel, on supporters of human civilization to stand up and say, we know who the bad guys are in what's happening.
So
in the Middle East, and we know who the good guys are, we know who the bad guys are, and the United States must stand strong and support the good against evil.
You know, it's I think of the people back, you know, my grandparents' age that grew up, you know, or were, you know, young during the Second World War, that they are more like the Americans today when it comes to the Uyghurs. We suspect, we've heard, but there's no real evidence. You know, I think that's happening, but I don't know, and nobody seems to be looking for it, and so you can't really do anything about it because the people don't know. This is different, and I would wonder from your perspective, historically, who would the Biden administration be most closely related to back then? Because we seem to be supporting the bad guys. We're giving money to Iran. And who are we if you would compare it back in the day of Germany? We're not German.
No, we're not. But don't forget that in the case of Nazi Germany in the 1930s, that there was a lot of American investment that had poured into that country. Starting in the 1920s, actually, and it was seen as the support that American capital and corporations gave to Germany in the interwar years. A lot of it was because we were much more fearful of Germany's collapse, its economic collapse.
Correct.
Especially after hyperinflation and then during the Great Depression, which was devastating to European economies as well as to ours. There was a real fear that of global instability if Germany collapsed, much more than there was worry about the rise of Germany,
right?
Even under Adolf Hitler, who seemed to, in the early years of his regime, it's important to remind everybody, Glenn, that he was seemed to be getting Germany's house in order. You know, he was mm-hmm. bringing full employment. He was rebuilding the country. You know, all the Autobahn and the infrastructure. And so, yes, he was rearming Germany at the same time. But the fact was that companies like General Motors, like IBM and Ford, had extensive business connections yes. there and were made uncomfortable. And were made uncomfortable with the fact that this was a regime that was becoming increasingly authoritarian. And
I don't, I'm not sure about, you could say that about, attacking, I don't know if you could say that about Henry Ford, though, could you? I mean, Henry Ford was. Oof.
Yeah, he did. He had his Jewish issue.
Yes.
And of course, and that's also one of the other dirty little secrets. There's two dirty little secrets. One was in the 1930s that anti-Semitism was widespread throughout European and also United States culture. Discrimination against Jews was part of daily life in the United States in the first half of the 20th century. The anti-Semitism, fear of the Jews, fear of them as a threat, as a danger to non-Jews and to as symbols of degeneration, that they were the decadent race in America. My book, The Idea of Decline, goes into great detail of the way in which the Jews were seen as being the triggers for Western decline. But the difference was people talked about the Jews and how dangerous they were. We've got to get rid of the Jews. What made Hitler different is he acted on it. He took what was rhetoric that was common in German politics and translated into action. And what I fear is what's happening now is that we've had condemnation of Israel and its mistreatment of the Palestinians, of its settlements. This has been going on for decades.
Yeah.
I remember even in the 1980s having conversations with people who would try to draw some kind of parallel between Israel's attack on the PLO in Lebanon and try to compare it to the Nazis. It was not unusual. It had become part of the rhetoric. What's happening now is we have a country, Iran, and terrorist groups like Hamas, who are willing to act on the idea of the destruction of Israel and the wiping away of an entire people and a sovereign state. And what we need to do is to find a way in which that the United States remains four square, remains behind Israel without doubt. And it's just not enough, Glenn, to have the Secretary of Defense, as he did yesterday, to say that there's no evidence that right. Israel is committing genocide in Gaza.
Be clear.
Where saying that is taken as a defense of Israel. It's not. It's the weakest possible way in which to talk about what's happening in that part of the world and what's really unfolding in the conflict in Gaza.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Podcast. To hear more of this interview, check out the full episode anywhere podcasts are found.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. There's a couple of things that we should talk about here. First of all, let's start with Pete Buttigieg mocking people about crime.
So we need to talk about the reality here. And again, there is a lot of funding and a lot of energy going into telling a different story, especially on ideological news outlets and online. But the simple facts and the simple reality are right here staring us in the face, including the fact that I can safely walk my dog mm-hmm. to the Capitol today in a way that you couldn't do when we all got here.
Mm, really? Walk the Capitol, walk our dog to the Capitol. Now, is that with your armed protection or not, Pete? Is that with somebody picking up your bike that you ride for a little while and then they throw in the back of the SUV? By the way, later that day, two people walking their dogs were mugged. One of the victims was stabbed. So walking around, walking your dog in D.C. is
Well, I mean, you know.
Did they forget their protection detail? Is that what it was?
They didn't have their that was the problem.
Yeah, they
didn't
have their Secret Service agents.
Exactly right.
What's going to happen? Of course you're going to be attacked.
So last year, D.C. finished 2023 with 274 homicides, a 36% increase of murder, and the most since Pete Buttigieg was in high school. They had over 900 reported carjackings last year and 100% increase in gun crimes compared to pre-2020 levels. So there's an awful lot of money being spent and a lot of time really being spent on trying to convince you of fairy tales. Now, you just have to decide which one's telling the fairy tales. And do you and your friends want to continue down this trail of lies, because nothing can be fixed until we face the truth. Now, there are other people that are doing things about it. The German minister just came out and said that he was they were going to speed up deportations to fight rising crime in Germany. They'll not only talk about rising crime, they'll also tie it to the influx of unknown immigrants, illegal aliens. But we won't do either of those. We won't admit that there's a crime problem. We won't admit that there's a border problem. We certainly won't admit that those two are connected, and we won't do anything about it. How far away are we from fixing things, and how far away are we from reality? Meanwhile, a vote for Biden, I'm convinced, is a vote for World War III. Here is Russia accusing Burisma. Now, what do I know about Burisma? What is that? Oh, yeah. Burisma of financing a Moscow attack. Listen to this.
Итогом проверки, организованной в связи с обращением
группы депутатов... Wait, we should probably start again in case you don't... I mean, maybe you don't speak Russian. Let me translate for you. Here it is.
Итогом проверки,
from the Duma, the result of an investigation from the Duma, the deputies and individuals of the investigative committee have opened up a case of the financing of terrorism by officials from NATO. It has been established that the money received through commercial enterprises, specifically the oil and gas company Burisma Holdings, operating in Ukraine in the recent years, were used for terrorist attacks in the Russian Federation and outside of it, with the goal of eliminating political and activist figures, inflicting economic damage. Okay, so that's good news.
Wow.
Do you remember what we did? Anybody remember that? What we did when we were attacked? It didn't end well. Didn't end well. And I don't know about you, but I don't have a house in a cave. So it might be easier for them to vaporize us. Meanwhile, the Biden administration, Joe Biden, came out yesterday and he was talking about the primary threat to America. Cut three.
Primary threat to freedom and democracy at home.
Donald Trump.
No, jeez.
Seriously. Donald Trump uses phrases like you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
When has he said we're going to eviscerate the Constitution? When? I want you to go to what is the book? Audible. I want you to go to Audible. I want you to download 1984 today. There's it's like an hour and a half long. It's a rendition of 1984. It's really, really, really well done. But I want you to listen to it. Just listen to the first three chapters. And absolutely everything that is in 1984 is happening right now. And all of the things that Big Brother is saying is being said by this administration or their media mouthpieces right now. You won't believe, I haven't read 1984 for probably 10 years. And, you know, when you remember reading it in school, did you read it in school?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember, it was like a good, you know, it was a good fiction book. You were like, oh, it would be crazy if it was ever like that.
Yeah.
Listen or read it now. It's shocking. It is honestly like George Orwell had some magic ball that he was looking into. It's everything. Everything that is happening right now. it's just truly remarkable. Truly remarkable. Listen to that today. Make that a priority in the next few days. Listen to that on Audible. Because it's really not good. Now, nearly half of U.S. Muslims and half of U.K. Muslims support Hamas. No, it goes deeper than that. 1 in 4 Muslims believe the Palestinian Islamic terror group has committed murder and rape during the October 7th attacks on Israel. Only 1 in 4. Half of them say they were right to do it. And a quarter of them won't take a position. Huh. So if you won't take a position, what position do you think that is? Really? I mean, there's a quarter of them that are brave enough in their own community to say, no, that was rape and murder. There's a quarter that's like, I don't know. You don't pay attention? Really? Something like that you're not paying attention to. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And half of them. Now, here's what happened on the streets this weekend in Dearborn, Michigan. Cut 30. Isn't it? No, sorry. Yeah, it's the death to America. Here it is.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Death to America, they start chanting. Death to America. Remember, he's quoting the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth. And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant death to Israel has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
Death to Israel. Death to Israel. Death to America."
Imam Khomeini recognized that Israel is an evil settler colonialist project.
Wow, okay, so we get this from the Ayatollah Khomeini.
He realized it is a cancer.
He realized
and he established this day. Israel, before this, brothers and sisters, was a sacred cow.
Oh, yeah, Germans loved
Nobody
it.
Nobody could criticize Israel.
Oh, you're
Everybody
right.
Everybody was terrified of being anti-Semitic. Everybody was afraid of them. But now, the people of conscience very openly will criticize Israel. They recognize Israel for what it is. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis. They are fascists. Wow. They are racist. The people of the world now know this.
Stop. So this is what the mainstream media, this is Dearborn, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the mainstream media refused to cover. Okay. Fox covered it. There was another one that covered it. It's easier. Politico, MSNBC, CBS News, New York Times, NBC News, ABC News, The Washington Post, and NPR did not cover any of this. Only Jake Tapper and Fox News, and then like the Daily Caller, The Blaze, Daily Wire. That's it. They were talking about the solar eclipse and playing clips of Joe Biden saying things like the biggest eternal internal threat to America is Donald Trump. We have to talk to our friends with reason. We have to find ways to just ask them a series of questions, beginning with, is your life better? Do you have more hope or less hope for your kids and their future? How are you doing at the grocery store? How are you doing at the gas station? How are you doing with your job? Do you know that 1.8 million jobs of American-born workers have been lost, while all of the gains have been with foreign-born workers? You got to ask your union, what the hell? Who are you protecting? What are you doing? And they'll blame it on the greedy corporation. Well, the greedy corporation's just one. Yes, they do. And that's why we're now occupying the place where the left used to be. These corporations are out of control. What are they doing? Can you not see the coordinated effort to bring down the United States of America? It's almost as if socialists, radicals, Islamists, communists, anarchists will all work together to bring down the United States of America and freedom all over the world. Gee.
Oh, that could never happen. That? Yeah.
Here we are, gang.
Yeah.
Here we are. And this is not something, I mean, there are those Democrats that are real problem. Do you know what Governor Gretchen Whitmer said? She said, because Wall Street Journal did an op-ed, said, welcome to Dearborn, America's jihad capital, which is absolutely true. She said, Americans know that blaming a group of people based on the words of a small few is wrong. That's exactly what can lead to Islamophobia. Islamophobia. Dearborn is a vibrant community full of Michiganders who contribute day in and day out to our state. Have you been to Dearborn? And I remind you, the latest polls, and there's several of them out now, of Americans or people living in America who claim to be Muslim, only one quarter believe what happened October 7th was wrong.